Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Romans chapter 1. Title of our sermon today is How Pagan is America? If you would, let's stand together and we'll read verses 18 through 24. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold, or shall we say, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You know, truth is precious. Time is precious. But truth is more precious than time. And it's terrible that there are those in our society today that suppress the truth. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as the Covenant Baptist Church nears its 62nd anniversary, that we would continue to be a lighthouse of faith. That, Lord, we would continue to send forth the gospel. And, Lord, we pray now that your hand would be upon this service. And when it is finished, we pray, Lord, we can say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Once again, take your Bibles in the book of Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 24 down through verse 32. Romans 1, 24 through 32. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Reverend Mays Jackson wrote, America is becoming more pagan and heathen day by day. Paganism is replacing civilization in our beloved land. He continues, what are the characteristics of paganism? What are its marks? unquote. Well, he gave a number of marks of paganism, which we will look at today. And he wrote this in 1965. The first mark of paganism is spiritual darkness. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Spiritual darkness. Now, may I say here and now, we have plenty of religion in America today. There's plenty of religion. But as I've often said, religion is man's attempt to get to God. But Jesus Christ is not interested in our religion. He's interested in our faith. He is interested in us knowing him as a personal Savior. And we find this in the Word of God. But if you would, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. If you would turn a page, well, at least I have to turn a page, to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6:12. The first mark of paganism is spiritual darkness. And it says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We live in a world that is full of spiritual darkness. If you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As a Bible-believing church, our desire is to be a lighthouse for the cause of Christ. What does a lighthouse do? Well, it sends the light in the darkness. Maybe you've been to one of the lighthouses in the state of Michigan. I understand that the state of Michigan has more lighthouses along its shores than any state in the Union. We send forth the light because we live in a dark world. And the fact of the matter is, all the darkness in the world can't put out the light. But the light has to be on. And we have to be reflectors of the light of the Lord. Jesus Christ called himself the light of the world, and we are to reflect that light. But if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Churches need to be proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. That is our job, is to proclaim Christ and his salvation. We have much in the way of idol worship in America. Worshiping people. Now, I was listening with interest the other day as they were talking about an NFL player who is on strike. Now, I don't know why he wouldn't sign with this team, but he was not happy with earning $1 million a game. If I'm not mistaken, the Detroit Lions have a quarterback who is earning $1.5 million for every game he plays. That's a little bit more than I earn in preaching. Okay. But you know, there are people who worship professional sports personalities. They worship people from Hollywood, singers. We find that they worship these people. We find that there are people who worship education, power, and money. So the first mark of paganism is spiritual darkness. The second mark of paganism is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is running rampant in America today. Hey, would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Moses has gone up to be with the Lord and to get the Ten Commandments. And he and Joshua are returning to the camp. And it says in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." God said they have corrupted themselves. Notice he blames Moses for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. Who really brought them out of the land of Egypt? The Lord brought them out. But he is so frustrated with them that he blames Moses. If you would, check verse 19. Verse 19. "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf." Now, Aaron has made a calf. Because the people have said, "Where's Moses? Where's Moses?" And he made a calf so they could worship this calf. Notice, "and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and he brake them beneath the mount." If you would, verses 25 and 26. "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses said in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side?" With sexual immorality comes lewd dress. The idea is, how little can I wear? I had something happen to me the other day at Lakeside Mall. Now, when I say the other day, I don't mean the last 2 weeks. It was a little bit ago. And I've been pondering, should I give this illustration or will my wife hit me? I'm going to send by her anyways for support. She wasn't there. Let me catch my breath. I had gone into Lakeside Mall to try to find something, but I could not. I was coming out by the food court. You know where the food court is? Yeah. And I was coming out of the food court, and I was almost to the driveway in the parking lot when I heard someone say, "Hurry, they're coming." Now, if you heard someone say, "Hurry, they're coming," what would you do? You'd come to look and see what was going on. Two young women came running out of Lakeside Mall. They were not streaking. They were not dressed like ladies. And as they came running by, the dress of the one girl was so short, it bounced up over her hips. Yes, worse than that, she was naked. She was naked. Did she bother to pull it down? No. She's running across the parking lot for any and all to see. And I thought to myself, what have we become? That number one, that she would wear a skirt that short. And number two, once it had done that, she continued and didn't even care to pull it down. See, we are living in a world of lewd immorality today. God has a plan for sexuality. It was a gift to Adam and Eve, to the husband and his wife. Sexuality outside of the union of husband and wife is the same as shoplifting. It's stealing. No matter what the magazines tell us, no matter what is being taught in society, God has a plan. And because we don't follow the plan, we find that we live in a pagan America. Number three, the third mark of pagan society is lawlessness, robbery. If I were to ask you how many of you have been robbed in one form or another, probably most of us would raise our hand. Now, we may not have had a gun put in our nose or in our face, I should say. How many of you have ever been held up at gunpoint? Okay, I was held up at gunpoint. And I must admit, when I told my wife, she says, "You tell so many stories, I don't know if I should believe you or not." But I was held up at gunpoint. I and about seven or eight other people, I walked into a drugstore across the street from Henry Ford Hospital. It wasn't Henry Ford Hospital then, it was St. Joseph. And I walked into the drugstore, and there was a man with a gun. And that's quite an experience. But he was being a law-abiding thief, right? No, we live in a lawless society. Gangs, riots, mass shootings, terrorism, drinking and driving. Aren't you glad you're not a street sign? Intimidating witnesses, ungodly music, sexual predators, child pornography. You do realize that every time we open a door for more sin to come in, more sin comes in. Okay? You know what the newest sin is that they're wanting to now say is okay? That you can legally have sex with children. And this is where they're headed. And they're saying, you can't tell me I'm wrong. See, as you drift from the Bible, you become worse and worse. Do we live in a pagan society? We live in a pagan society so that pedophiles would be legalized. But the fact of the matter is, we've let the door open, and sin is coming out. The fourth mark of pagan society is a lack of womanhood. There was a time in which a woman wanted to be called a lady. And yet to many today, they don't want to be called a lady. They want to be just as vile and vulgar as men. Isn't that exciting? Huh? And so we have removed the name lady. We are women. Vile and cursing language. Abortion. You know, God gave women a special privilege to have children. Now, I've heard the joke that said, if men had children, every family would have one child. Or none. But that's not true. But the fact of the matter is, today we have abortion. And in America, we have slaughtered nearly 60 million citizens. We have taken away the respect of womanhood. The fifth mark of pagan society is a lack of respect for the church and her pastors. How many of your neighbors have gone to church today? Now, let me ask you this. How many of our own church members are not in church today? Now, I'm not talking about those who are sick or those who are away on vacation or those who maybe will be working today. How many have just simply decided they're not going to go to church? There is a lack of respect for the church. Church takes second place to everything else. And in many churches today, we have a watered down teaching. Come as you are and leave as you were. Jesus never expected that. Jesus preached to them and told them to repent, to get their hearts right. Don't preach against sin. At least not my sin. Too many churches today have become entertainment centers. The sixth mark of paganism is not honoring or worshiping our Creator God. Our Creator God. But if we don't give him the credit for the creating of the world, we're taking that credit from him and we're giving it to simply a theory. And this theory of evolution is a very poor evolution, or a very poor theory. As I said last week, evolutionists take the finished product and then try to say how we got here. The Bible tells us how we began. Amen. That God created the heavens and the earth. The question is, why would something evolve? When that first, whatever you'd want to call it, amoeba, why would it evolve? Why should it? Why should that which was in the water decide they want to come up on land? Why? There is no answer for that. They have millions upon millions of years, but they can't make any life today. Why is it that our history that we have goes back 6,000 years? Because 6,000 years ago is when God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. But we can go back and human history, 6,000 years. And that's as far as we can go back. And so if you don't give God the credit for the creation, then you are pagan. You say, well, I know believers who believe in theistic evolution. Or that each day was a span of millions of years. God didn't use that way of creating it. He spoke the word. And in 6 days, what we see is here. And what do you do on the seventh day? Rested. What is the seventh day? Saturday. Sunday is not the weekend. Sunday is what? The week beginning. Today is the first day of the week. Christ rose on what? The first day of the week. That's why we worship on Sunday, because he arose on Sunday. And so what we find are those who do not give the Lord the honor and glory that is his. They ignore his book. They refuse his message. They don't attend his house. There's a lack of sacrifice. You say, well, what do you mean sacrifice? Well, I'm glad we don't sacrifice doves or sheep or bulls. I'm glad that Christ was the final sacrifice. But how about our own personal sacrificing? Are we willing to sacrifice for the Lord? But see, there's a lack of concern. We've become complacent. We've become self-righteous. To the church of Laodicea was said, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Do we find the Lord knocking at the door in Revelation chapter 3? We do. What door is he knocking at? He's knocking at the door of the church. Why would the Lord be knocking at the door of the church? Because in too many churches, he's not a welcome guest. He's not a welcome guest. We should want him to be with us. Doesn't the Bible tell us where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst? We want him to be here. And he can only be here if we are using his word and that we are honoring him the way he should be honored. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So that brings me to the conclusion. And I wondered, how do I conclude a message like this? And then I thought about the passage in Romans where it says that Abraham staggered not As believers, we are not to stagger at the fact that, yes, we live in a society that has become anti-God, anti-church, anti-Bible. May I say this? This is not the worst society in the history of man. Because man has been so evil at one point in time that the Lord destroyed everyone but one family. You remember who that family was? Noah and his wife and his three sons. God was so angry with those people that he wiped them all out. So we think our society is pagan, but the one that Noah lived in was even worse. And yet Noah was able to live what type of life? A godly life. What's that say about us? Can we live a godly life? Absolutely. Let's stand together if you would, please. I believe all of us can live a godly life. But the question is, are we willing to do so? Are we willing to make a stand for our Creator God? Are we willing to do that which is right? We'll sing a song of invitation. 401 only, trust Him. The altar is here. You can come and pray by yourself, or if you'd like to pray with somebody, let it be known and we'll have that opportunity done. Dear Heavenly Father, as we're having this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that your will would be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.